The other day, I was thinking about the stuff Christians hate. In particular, I was thinking about the people Christians like to hate. Well, maybe hate is too strong. Let's say the people that Christians like to dislike, or maybe the people that Christians like to deplore. I was reviewing an article which included a quote from a noted theologian whose views have sparked controversy in the past. I wondered if I should mention it to the editor. There was nothing wrong with the quote, but you know how these things go. Sometimes the mere mention of a name is enough to spark outrage among Christians. It's not what is said that prompts the reaction, it's the person who said it. We often don't even understand the nature of the controversy. We just know that someone told us that the author said something somewhere else that was bad. Concerns about what people have said or written are reasonable, especially when it comes to the faith. It's not so surprising that we don't understand the finer details of such matters. Most of us rely upon the opinion of others to help discern good teaching from bad. It isn't necessarily a bad thing. The Bible says that it's the duty of the church's leaders to warn God's people about false doctrine. Even theologians depend upon other theologians for their opinions. I've noticed that our tastes in these matters also tend to be cyclical, and that was the question that I wrestled with when it came to the quote. We hated this guy 5 years ago, but do we still hate him today? Well, maybe hate is too strong. Let's say that he made us uncomfortable. We didn't doubt that he was a Christian. As far as I know, his Christian walk is exemplary. But people in my theological tribe disagreed with his position, some of them strongly. But after a while, something changes. We feel differently. Maybe we decide this issue that separated us wasn't that important after all. Perhaps we're tired of controversy and decide to overlook it. Or more likely, some new person or issue captures our attention and pushes our discomfort with the other guy to the margins. If we wait long enough, our old enemy might even become a new favorite. It's like furniture. The ugly furniture my parents used to decorate our house in the 1950s is now hip. Theology's like that too. Some of the people we used to decry are now merely thought to have been misunderstood. When I was in seminary, my conservative teachers considered Karl Barth to be a liberal. Today, he's insightful. This doesn't just happen with people. When I started to follow Jesus, I smoked a pack and a half of cigarettes a day. I liked smoking. Well, all except for the cancer part. But in general, I liked the smell and the way I felt when I smoked. I thought it made me look intellectual. Then an older believer that I respected told me that serious Christians don't smoke cigarettes, so I quit. It wasn't easy for me. It took a while. It took the grace of God. These days, such a warning would be considered legalistic. Christians don't hate smoking anymore. Indeed, I know some Christian leaders who are proud of the fact that they smoke. Of course, it has to be the right kind of smoke. Cigarettes are still considered gauche among conservatives, but not cigars or pipes. They're a common accessory with a certain brand of pastor. He's usually reformed, young, and bearded. The nagging issue of cancer is still there, but we won't think about that today. We can think about that tomorrow, when the doctor calls with our test results. The same leaders who don't hate smoking don't hate drinking anymore either. They've cast aside the old misgivings some Christians used to have about the consumption of alcohol. They consider abstinence to be an outdated vestige of the sort of legalism that once claimed real Christians don't smoke, drink, or chew, or go with girls who do. Jesus drank, they point out. He changed water into wine. Paul advised Timothy to use a little wine for thy stomach's sake. Not only does this new order of Christian leader like to drink, but they seem to like to post selfies of themselves drinking on social media. This practice appears to me to be a kind of manifesto, a testimony to Christian liberty. However, just like smoking, to be truly acceptable, it must be the right kind of drinking. It has to be craft beer, or at least wine. One can hardly imagine Jesus tipping a can of Bud. In the interest of fairness, I must confess that I am not a neutral observer on this issue. Both my parents were addicted to alcohol. I also recognize that although the Bible does condemn drunkenness, it doesn't condemn the consumption of wine outright. I understand that not everyone who drinks is a drunk. But I also know that 10% of drinkers consume 60% of all the alcohol that's sold. Maybe alcohol isn't as hip as we thought. The list of things we used to hate is growing, but that doesn't mean that we hate fewer things. It just means that we've exchanged the items on the old list for new. There's still plenty of stuff for Christians to hate. For example, we hate to sit down while singing in church. We hate to go to church on Sunday night. We hate to go to church on Sunday, and some of us hate to go to church, period. We hate one another's politics. We hate the music in church, if it's not ours. And sometimes, we even hate each other. It's a challenge to hate the right things. We often fail to get it right. Some of us don't want to hate anything. Others hate everything. We seem to have a penchant for foolish alliances, like Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah. I sometimes wonder if the prophet would say to us what he said to him, "Should you help the wicked and love those who hate the Lord?" In the end, our real problem isn't about what we hate at all. It's about what we love.